Des is in semi-retirement now, just enjoying a little bit of rest and relaxation. I wonder whether he'll put some of his hard-earned on that multi today. Great to have a chat to you, Des.
Thanks, Michael. I think Mick Molloy will be shaking in his boots listening to Matt's multi.
Mick's multi, now Matt's multi, exactly. Hey, Des, great to get you on this morning because I wanted to spend a couple of minutes for those who are younger listeners or may not recall what happened with Ricky Elvis Thurgood and see the name in the form guide today, which is the Elvis Thurgood Victoria Handicap. I just wanted you to remind the listeners out there what a special person he and his family are and how important this race day is for them.
Michael, thanks. It's a really special race day for the Thurgood family. It means to them that Ricky isn't forgotten, and the sacrifice and the trial that he's been put through since Easter Saturday 1980, 41 years ago. And it just means an enormous amount that the racing industry, race goers, punters, participants, and all administrators and so on, just take a moment and pause on the sacrifice that Ricky Thurgood's made and his family have made over the last 41 years. That's why it's a really special day that the Melbourne Racing Club put on the Victoria Handicap as the Elvis Thurgood Handicap.
So the fall occurred 41 years ago on this day in the Easter Cup?
Yep, 41 years ago in 1980, Belldale Ball won the Melbourne Cup that year. Malcolm Fraser was Prime Minister and so on. So, yeah, it's a lifetime ago. There are 16 jockeys in the race in the Victoria Handicap today. I don't think any of the 16 were born in 1980. Ricky suffered absolutely catastrophic head and physical injuries in that race. He wasn't expected to survive the night at the Alfred Hospital. He has survived and he's actually thrived under the care of Noel and Doris at their home in Caulfield. That care is 24/7. It's every single day. As I say, it means a lot to them that he's remembered today. He has had a rough couple of months in that for the first time since his discharge in 1980, a couple of weeks ago, he was admitted to Cabrini. It's the first time he's actually been admitted into a hospital since his discharge in 1980. And he's had some issues and some complications, but hopefully they're being dealt with now and he's back at home. And I know the family will be listening in to RSN today for the coverage of this race. And I know it'll mean, even though these jockeys riding today, very few of them know Ricky. He hasn't been to a race meeting for probably 7 or 8 years now. It just means an awful lot to them that a fellow rider who's had a terrible outcome isn't forgotten by our sport.
Des, you see the unbelievable love and dedication of parents when they're thrown an absolute curveball, whether it's a child born with some really difficult condition, that it's a life story for them and the dedication. But Noel and Doris, it's as much about Noel and Doris as it is about Ricky, this story, isn't it, and their incredible devotion?
It is. Well, they'd come out, they'd migrated out from Sri Lanka, and Noel was working as a tram conductor at the time of Ricky's fall, and Doris was working at the PMG. Given the extent of his injuries and the care that's required, the permanent and constant every moment of the day care that's required, they both left their working lives, professional lives, and took up the role as his carers. And his sister Debbie and his brother Derek have been fantastic supporters as well. And look, it's been a massive impact on that family, but I know that they do it with an incredible amount of love and devotion. And who knows where the future takes us? Because obviously, it's pretty clear that Noel and Doris are entering their very, very later years, in their late 80s now, and we'll just see where the road takes us. But I think also that they're really appreciative that Racing Victoria have been so supportive throughout. This is way pre-WorkCover even came into existence. So the task's fallen to, first of all, the VRC, which morphed, of course, into Racing Victoria. And to have the support of people like their CEOs, Giles Thompson, who I know has visited the family, and, of course, Bernard Saundry, who had a really close relationship with the family, that means the world to the Thurgoods. And I think our industry should be really proud that in a situation like this, someone who's made it the ultimate sacrifice that you could make and still be alive isn't forgotten and is respected by the industry through the running of this race today.
Yeah, well said, Des. To Noel, Doris, Ricky, who'll be listening, our thoughts are with you. Hope things are going okay, and you will not be forgotten. Today is your day. Enjoy it. Hopefully they can find the winner of the Victoria Handicap. That'll be a tough task in itself, Des.
And... Well, Michael, I think they're relying on Matt's selection. So,
oh, no.
Matty, what are you going,
I think,
for, Matthew?
I think there's one running in Sydney that should be the one. It looks
it's
like Elvis.
It's got to be the looks
I
like Elvis. I like that. I like that. But give them something in the Victoria Handicap.
Victoria Handicap? I think Pretty Brazen. I wouldn't want to steer Noel and Doris into a risky one, so I think Pretty Brazen each way, Desmond.
We'll settle for that with Luke Curry on board. That'll do us nicely, Matty.
Named
thanks
after
a lot,
Matty.
Michael.
Hey, Des, just before you go, I want to throw a curveball at you, and I'll put you on the spot here because I only just thought of this, so I haven't given you pre-warning. You spent a lot of time in your role with the jockeys looking after jockeys. I'm not even sure if you're aware of this Racing Australia rule that's just come out in the last couple of days, which says... Racing Australia is aware of increasing prevalence of persons other than trainers and connections such as riders, agents and form analysts providing tactical riding instructions to jockeys. Racing Australia is of the view this is inappropriate and may create integrity and perception issues, as well as potentially confuse jockeys who have conflicting riding instructions. Racing Australia has approved the introduction of a new rule which basically says that they shouldn't get any outside information. From your vast experience of dealing with the jockeys, is this a rule that we need?
Michael, it's a what I'd call a safety net for the integrity departments. It's really just formalising the expectation of what's in place now, that at the end of the day, the owner, usually through the trainer, has the say in how they want their horses to be ridden. So for me, it's a continuation of what's already in place, but it's a formalisation of it. There's no doubt that, you know, there's as many speed maps around as, you know, there are punters and opinions. And jockeys use analysts. They use, form analysts and so on, managers and so on. But at the end of the day, I think Racing Australia are just formalising that the people who are paying the bills, as in the owners, have the final say in how they want their horses to be ridden. When I was working a lifetime ago for John Maher, the jockey had come out, and our approach would be Johnny would say to the jockey, what do you think? How do you see this all unfolding? Some jockeys would have a Craig Williams-style approach to it. Others might have a Jamie Carr approach to it, which is, you know, pretty much, well, we'll just see how it unfolds. And then the trainer and would have their input. At the end of the day, as I say, it's just, I think at the end of the day, it'll be through New South Wales, no doubt that this has come. Mm. No, I've got no doubt about that, but it's coming through New South that they just want to formalise the fact that at the end of the day, if they have an issue where an agent or a manager or a form analyst is directing jockeys how to ride, they want to have the power to deal with that compared to wanting the jockeys to to have that position where they ride for the trainer and the owner's instructions.
Des, appreciate your time. Has the golf improved?
getting dustier by the day, Michael, my clubs. But I live near a golf course, so I've got about 1,000 golf balls if anyone needs any golf balls over
Yes. I'll put my hand up for those.
Good on you, Matty.
$10 a ball. Hey, good on you, Des. Enjoy today.